I guess he can't copy and paste.
I guess not. Yeah, maybe he's like he's got it on his phone. He's trying to do it on a computer or something. It looks like I got it right.
I mean, I'm here.
You're here, yeah.
So
that's right. That's the all the proof I need.
Right.
I'm texting it again. Sorry, that's my screen. Good morning.
How's it going?
Good, thanks. And you?
Fine.
You're choking again? What?
Yeah. I probably should have grabbed something to drink, but I'll survive. Well, I mean, in the long run, I won't, but I don't have anything to drink.
Sooner or later. Yeah. What's that behind you with the face?
Okay, hold on. I gotta go this way. That?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
That's Toily. Toily is a roll of toilet paper. It's a puppet. Friend of mine, Grant, is a puppeteer, and he did a Kickstarter to, like, you can get your own Toily.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I could go
get it. That's cool. It's got a good design.
It's the
actual Toily.
Look at that.
Looks better, but...
Is it okay that yours isn't screen quality?
Yeah, it's fine, but... And then I don't have little sticks to operate the hands, but... I got the Kickstarter to support him, and I told him, I said, you don't need to send me the thing.
Because what are you going to do with it?
I don't have, like, lots of room. I'll shove him on my...
Well, that's a good design. I like that.
Yeah, he's fun. He's got something like 3 million followers on TikTok or something.
Oh, wow.
Some asinine thing. And then he's got, like, 800 followers on, like, Twitter.
That's weird such how things that's, work. Yeah, it is. Okay, I'm gonna email him the link.
Oh my god!
Because
tell him he's out.
It's too late. Let's see. Oh, wait, actually, just copy and invite link.
Just send the email with the text that just says, "Okay, guys, new meeting ID."
It's like a screenshot of the text.
Oh, screenshots. I was using Stevie's car this week because mine's in the shop, and she has like the CarPlay and stuff. And so I took a screenshot of something I wanted to show her. And because my phone was connected to the CarPlay, it also gave me a screenshot of her dash display.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, that's weird. I don't know if it'll come in handy. But it sure did happen.
There's no way you could have known that. That's
no.
I'm taking the time to process that. That's crazy.
Yeah, here I'll show you.
Pop, Seth has entered the waiting room. Oh, neat.
Huh. So weird. Oh my god, he's live.
Hello.
Hello, Ben. I enjoy your email sign off.
Oh, I didn't even check it. What was it?
It was who have I heard of a Charlie in the box?
Oh, that's right.
Recording in progress.
Got it.
Got it?
Yeah. Is that leftover? Is that old decorations up from last Christmas?
No, I you know what? That signature has been my signature for many years. Because there was a time where I would change my signature frequently, especially when we were doing Lost. I would change it to like a quote of the week sort of situation. But I use email socially, not at all now. Like, yeah. I can't remember the last time I emailed a friend.
Oh, wow.
You know, it just not how I communicate. So,
like 2 minutes ago, this is the last one.
Right. That was the first time.
There we go. So, yeah, I know. It's usually telegraph, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay. You know,
I get the Daz and the Diz. That's me. Yep. I got the best Diz and the Biz, they say.
Seth, we're just going to pretend you're Ryan this week. So we're not going to introduce you or anything.
Okay, great.
You're going to take the role of Ryan.
Ryan things.
Should I giggle every so often?
Please.
Okay, all right.
It motivates us.
Oh, since he's not here, guess what I didn't do this week?
Watch The Last Man?
Watch the Beatles
the
trailer.
Trailer.
Oh.
Just the trailer.
It's like 2 minutes, right?
I bet. I haven't watched it either.
Oh, but you didn't promise him.
No, that's right.
I'm still waiting to get confirmation that he's watched Detroiters.
It's actually 4 minutes. So
Jesus
that's 4 minutes. That's a commitment.
That's like one-fifth of a Detroiters episode.
It's the Why the Last Man of trailers. These episodes are 50 minutes.
That's a lot considering that they would have commercials. So how do they fit that?
It doesn't matter.
I don't know.
Because it's streaming, so...
Yeah.
Well, that's right. It's not like they have to wait for the next show. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
It's not showing up on the TV.
I was writing a comic book that my friend did the artwork for, and I was doing it as print. I was like, how many pages in a comic book? And so I wrote that many pages, and he started drawing, and then we realized, like, we only really plan on releasing it digital, so why are we constrained to printing pages? So
that's right. That's like, really interesting.
I'm like, so yeah. I was like, all right, make that a splash page. Fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think there might even be a word for that when you're stuck in the old paradigm and it sort of limits you in a certain way.
So Robert Rodriguez told a story about his mom would make meatloaf and she would make meatloaf and cut off the sides and then cut off the sides, make the meatloaf. That's how your grandma did it, she said. That's how your grandma did it. So finally one day he's eating dinner with his grandma and mom makes meatloaf, cuts the sides off. And Robert Rodriguez asks his grandma, why did you cut the sides off the meatloaves? And she said, oh, because the pan was too small. So it's like,
oh man,
you just learned stuff that are.
That's
like
it. Exactly.
There's like, I don't know if it's true or not, but there was a meme that went around about why roads are the width that they are.
Oh yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That whole thing about it being like, initially how wide a wagon cart was and then train gauge. And then like, there was this whole thing. It's like, well, that's the way we've been doing it. I guess we better keep doing it that way.
Yeah, exactly. I think the particular meme traces it all the way from Roman carts to the airplane that carries the space shuttle or something. Just that everything's just the width it's always been.
Yeah. Oh, you know, it's actually, I was going to say like a show that sort of does the opposite of that. That's pretty good. Have you guys ever seen Connections?
Yes, from the 80s?
Yeah, yeah. PBS? From like the 80s and 90s. It's the PBS show. Maybe. What the guy does, James Burke, he was a science and tech reporter. And what he does is he goes, okay, we're going to end with the atomic bomb. But first, let me show you all of the things that got us to that, starting with, this is called a touchstone, and it's how you knew gold was real. And this led people to think of, why do we do this, and so on and so forth. And it's this really neat show that just like, here is this chain of invention and idea and thought that ended in this this thing or this process that we all thought came out of nowhere. It didn't. It's connected back to all of these things.
Yeah, that's
there's a song that I've talked a bit about by the Amoeba People, the Futon song, which is my favorite song.
The great song.
And it just happens to be like the first one on the first album that I mentioned. But it's the same thing. You're sitting on your futon and you're thinking about what's in your room and you're thinking about what's outside your house and you're thinking about what's outside your block. And it just keeps on going and going and going. Which is funny, but that I feel weird. Like this, no one's going to understand this, but, me and Ben, I told you about the Amoeba People based on, I saw them live at an event. They were performing at an event at the Space Center in Downey or the Space Museum. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. This is something that Ben would dig. And so I told you, I'm like, you would dig this.
And right. And I remember saying like, oh yeah, for sure. I'll check it out.
And I never listened to any of their albums.
No,
all their songs were great and they were science based. And I'm like, oh cool. It's like They Might Be Giants has some science-based songs.
For sure.
So I recommended them. And then I like listened to their albums recently. And I'm like, oh, a lot of their shit isn't that. A lot of their shit's way different than that. And I felt I felt bad. I'm like, oh shit. And then the one song that popped into my head was that Futon song. And I'm like, oh, it's like the first song. Oh, you know that famous song? Their first one from like the first album.
That's so, as far as he made it. Yeah. Like, oh, my favorite Dickens part, you know, it was the best of times. Period.
Just stop right there.
That's all in. And actually, it worked out better, I think, than you thought, because the albums, whereas, yes, they did have the science songs, and they do a lot of different genres, but also they do skits, and they don't care how silly they are. They basically have a story of, it's Pecos Bill, but instead of wolves, it's bullfrogs.
Okay.
And that takes up two of the tracks on the album. And they're just, you know, we're just going to do our silly little skits and songs. And I appreciate
it. Worked out.
So it's kind of like the Bloodhound Gang, but sillier than the Bloodhound Gang.
It's like Fireside Theater. It's like Fireside Theater and They Might Be Giants and Devo. And what was the other one I said, Ralph? Like David Byrne.
Primus. You said Primus, but when you said Primus, I'm like, oh shit, maybe I should listen to these things that I suggest to the band, because it ended up you being suggesting like the real Amoeba People to me.
it came back around. Yeah, you're right.
But Seth, I don't know if you'd like it. You might like it. You like stuff.
Well, I mean, yeah, sure. I like stuff, and that sounds like the kind of thing I would listen to.
I can't imagine a single thing that you don't like.
That's right. I like everything.
You consume a lot of media that you don't like. Am I wrong?
Oh my God, no. We actually stopped that, and we're now reviewing the old Justice League cartoon.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which, and like watching that show again, I remember like back in 2000 or 2001 or whatever it was, and we all gathered at your apartment to watch Justice League.
Yeah.
And we were disappointed for a very long time.
Right.
Because the first seven episodes of that show are just mediocre and whatnot. Right. I think even Dylan at one point said, why are we watching a bad Justice League show when we can watch a good something else or something
right.
like that?
Yeah. But I don't know exactly when it gelled for you, but I remember when it became Justice League Unlimited, that there were several episodes of that were well worth our time.
Justice League Unlimited, I actually think it gelled in the original Justice League show around episode 8, where they brought in the Injustice Gang.
Okay. And I don't remember, but...
Yeah, and that was like suddenly when it's like, oh yeah, this is the show that we remember, that we recommend to people. We forgot. You can skip the first seven episodes. Don't worry about them. Start season 1, episode 8. All you need to know is that the Justice League formed. You don't need to know anything else. Just go into it.
The first seven episodes are just Superman getting electrocuted.
Yeah, that's it. I also remember that story about when we were working at Adelphia and Aquaman called you and was like, do we get Cartoon Network? And you were like, no. And he's like, that's disappointing.
Aquaman called you.
Yeah, the guy who voiced Aquaman on Justice League because he wanted to like show his family the episodes he was on.
Wow, I had no recollection of that event, but that's very funny. That's tragic.
I try to watch that show. I couldn't. So I'm like, if anything's going to get me into the show, let me skip ahead to where there's going to be a like clearly a Green Lantern-centric episode. Mm-hmm. And I watched it, and I was like, I just don't. I'm not into it.
One of the problems that they have is that for a very long time, they're like, Jon Stewart's defining characteristic is that he was a Marine.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all he plays is just, I'm a Marine! Tough! Hoorah! Blam! You know,
Yeah, when you get into character stuff and just give them one note and play it over the course of several episodes, it's not very entertaining.
No, that's true. It's not.
I'm sure since Justice League...
Are you talking about anything else, Rob?
People learn their lessons after Justice League and never do that ever again.
the speaking of why The Last Man...
Oh, are we? Okay.
I don't like this show.
I know.
I woke up and I put it on, and I keep saying we're gonna do this. We said we're gonna do this. People are reaching out to us. I now have like confirmed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people who said they stopped watching Why the Last Man and have been enjoying Darmalar still.
That's so good.
So like we're like guinea pigs to
right. We're like the canaries people in the mine.
Yes, Ben, I was just thinking that. Yes.
And man, I'm ready to keel over.
It's like the gas, the Why the Last Man bad air has gotten to you, and that's
yeah.
It's tough.
This is the Dharma Lords. Hi, I'm Ben.
I'm Ralph. Sorry.
And we got Ryan, as played by Seth.
That's me. I'm Seth Alcorn, playing the part of Ryan Moore.
You're the understudy.
Yes.
And we're talking about why episode 6, Weird Al is dead.
All right, I feel the need to talk about the Beatles for an extended length of time.
It's working.
Yeah, there it is.
My first note is, how many episodes do you owe a show? Because speaking about Ralph, you know, not enjoying the show, the question comes up did you give it enough time? And I wonder, how much time do you have to give it? It owes me something. I don't owe the show anything.
Well, this weird halfway.
Yes.
So if this was Lost, it would be like episode 12, episode 11 would be like halfway.
In terms of, yeah, okay.
That's a lot for them to leave out on the table. We were told by the showrunner that things would get sprinkled throughout. And I'm still not, I don't know.
I don't know. See, because I was actually, I started to rewatch the episode because my wife Allison and I actually watched it, I think, like a week and a half ago or something like that.
Mm-hmm. When I was like,
I was like, oh, I better refresh. And then I was watching it and I'm like, I don't know. I remember all this stuff. It's good. I'm good to go. But what was interesting to me is that I thought there were here and there, were touches of sort of the kind of stuff that you said you wanted that now show up. Like, really, the part at the beginning where they have that choir singing Radiohead, like, that's the kind of thing where people have come together and they are mourning the loss of something that has gone, and it's sort of this collective energy and collective spirit that you wanted to see that you really haven't seen.
Yeah,
I didn't know what the song was, but I'm glad we had Ryan here to let us know it was Radiohead.
I didn't recognize the song either, and I guess Harmony did. And I feel like moment would have been much cooler.
Harmony any would good recognize show, the song.
Any good show would make you want to be like, oh, what is that? And like maybe Google some lyrics that you make out. But like, I just don't care. So I'm like,
It should have been. I mean, I guess what I'm going with is they picked the song.
What's were that? You listening? Were you listening for it to be a Weird Al song? You're like, which Weird Al song is it?
It should have been a Weird Al song, or "Boobs a Lot" by the Holy Moodle Rounders.
What a deep cut! Oh, oh no. My god!
You "Boobs a Lot"? Oh, speaking of which, if you do, this is the episode for you.
They're all around.
I didn't want to bring them up. I didn't want to bring up the boobs, but there is a lot.
This is the episode where they went full nudity, which is funny because they hadn't had anything up to this point. But
yeah,
I'm not getting into that right now. I'm just saying that if the song had been a song I recognized, it would have had impact. It would have had much more impact. Otherwise, it's the same as going to church for me. Whatever they sing in church, could it be the same thing as this Radiohead song? It just doesn't.
Yeah, like maybe if they'd if they wanted to do Radiohead and they'd sung like "Creep" or something.
For
like
sure,
that.
Exactly. Yeah. But now I sound like the guy saying that you need to play the top 40 hit, and I know whoever picked it is probably like, this is cool. This is a deep cut that I like. You know, I'm being cool. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know Radiohead well enough to pick out their songs. Like, again, other than Creep.
Other than Creep.
It's the one I know. But I thought that the way they arranged it was compelling. Like, it made me want to listen to it.
Yeah. They're doing is this weekly tribute to the great dead men. And there was, once again, another trans man there. They propping up with a lot of frequency, which I think makes sense because that's what the show's trying to deal with.
Yeah.
So Wyatt can take his mask off and again wander off.
Why
you know what I was
immediately
thinking?
Immediately says, take your mask off, you don't need it, which goes to show you like people with working. Masks on isn't working. It's not working, and it's a thing that, but like, who's wearing the masks?
I don't
trans
know, but,
men, because they don't want to be mobbed and asked why they're still alive or whatever.
But this place is a safe place, so the guy tells them, but the guy clocked them is the point, so why wear the mask?
Yeah,
just
like
get clocked.
It's better to go and just, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it, pretend to be a trans man. That's your disguise. Then wearing a mask, which leads people to assume you're a trans man, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But Yorick is, again, this is an old, we were friends back in the 2000s and 90s, deep cut. Ben, you remember when you used to do your impression of Frodo in Fellowship?
Where he just wants to give everyone the ring.
Yeah, that is what Yorick is doing. He's like, you're the last man on Earth. We have to keep this secret. I'm going to take my mask off everywhere talk to everybody I possibly can.
He's doing the opposite of what she says.
Yeah, but it's true to the comic.
Yes.
I have to say that I reread those and...
In prep for
the
this?
TV show... just in prep because I wanted to, but the TV show is doing a really good job of portraying Yorick as he is in the comics. The problem is that Yorick as he is in the comics is insufferable.
Uh-huh.
He's insufferable for a very long time. And
that's kind of his arc, I guess.
Yeah. But it makes him an unpleasant main character to follow.
Right. And there's not enough going on around him to make up for it.
Right.
But the thing is, on this show, is he the main character?
I don't think he is, and I think that was a good idea.
Who's the main character, you reckon?
I think if we're going to go, it's split. It's Hero, Jennifer, and 355.
That makes sense. It's called Why the Last Man, but it's, yeah, I think you're right. Yorick he's more of a... an obstacle to the real protagonist, 355, or a goal to the real protagonist, Jennifer Brown. Yeah, I don't know how he fits down with Hero, but I up to that point with the way Y behaves, he wandered off. 355 catches up to him again, and he finds out that they're being chased, and he says, "You lied. We have a right to know." You don't have a right. You don't have any rights.
Yeah, that kind of went out the window a little while ago. Yeah, it's the problem is that there's a lot of not to get like overly real world or political or whatever, but there's a lot of rights that, you know, we're told that we have just because we're alive. But they require a functioning government and a functioning level of society to actually work.
Right.
And currently Earth doesn't have that.
Right. I think George Carlin had a bit about that. Like, you don't actually have rights.
Yeah.
We just decide that you do.
Yeah.
I watch with subtitles, as you all know, or closed captions. And
I did because Stevie slept in and I didn't want to wake her and didn't want to tell her I was watching the show without her because I don't think she cares.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've noticed in closed captioning over the years is that the word scoff, which I've only ever read in like a Beverly Cleary book, is well used, and it happened like 3 or 4 times in this episode where people were scoffing at each other, just scoffing back and forth.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was just this show or this happens on all shows.
It happens on all. It's so funny. It's a word that I never encounter anywhere but closed captions.
Does it just come up anytime somebody's sarcastic?
It's sometimes up when someone goes, That's basically it. Like, they go, whatever.
It happens in Ben's house while watching this show.
Jeez.
Okay, so I thought my notes somehow got deleted, but like, there's a recently deleted folder.
Nice.
Who hides bullets in a pizza oven? I mean, right. They don't have power, do they? They have refrigerators, and there's stuff in the refrigerators.
Yeah,
a Costco that size. Do they have generators? I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't know, but it strikes me. Shoot, I forget Missy Pyle's character name.
Roxanne.
Thank you. Well, she doesn't have to. Okay, I'm going to stop myself. I'm good. I'm good. It strikes me that somebody like I would credit her with having procured some generators.
Right.
Within the last couple of months.
That makes sense. I'm trying to remember the hot water they draw for the bath and if they're like heating it under a fire or something, over a fire.
I don't remember that. Which is an interesting question. How do they have hot water? But
yeah, not important.
Yeah.
I want to say that as though we were talking about President Diane Lane and Amber Tamblyn and just the great performances we're getting in this show, and add to that list Missy Pyle,
Yeah.
I've seen her. We've known her for many years, and I don't know if I've seen her in anything dramatic. I'm casting my bandwagon, and I'm thinking Galaxy Quest, yeah. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I'm not even sure what else. But...
Was she in Zoolander? Was she in Zoolander?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think she was like the masseuse. I don't care.
But she's doing a great job in this.
It's like, oh crap, Missy Pyle can act, and she's actually really good at it.
She's super good at it, and it's this clear sort of she's created a cult of personality.
Yeah,
where she you can tell she's, I don't say indoctrinating. She's working on Hero.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
She's not working on Hero. She should be working on Hero because that's from the comics, but she's working on Nora.
Yeah. I think in general, she does work a little bit on Hero in this, as I recall. It's either, I forget whether it's this episode or the episode previous, where Hero confesses to her what she did.
That's right. She's in, is that Dodgeball, Ralph?
Or? Zoolander.
That's Zoolander? Okay. Yeah. Well, you got it right.
And I hate to bring up a piece of definitely something that's regarded as bad media, but you remember Star Trek V? Vaguely?
Is that the one with the god?
Yes, it's the thing that Spock's half brother does is he gets everybody to confess like their greatest sin or their greatest failure or their greatest whatever, and that's how he
manipulates gets them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's a classic technique. The Scientologists do that.
Yeah, and they record it. So that's what she's doing. I think it's interesting because, and again, Ralph, I think this is something that you sort of said you wanted. We're getting to see how the Amazons were created, where in the comics we're just presented with them.
Okay, but
yeah,
this is episode 6 of 10.
Yes,
right. Not a lot of them to work with.
Yeah, I feel like this is stuff we should have learned earlier. There's so much stuff in the previous episodes that could just go away, like full episodes that you don't need. You have such a limited amount of time with this stuff. You know, you have 10 episodes. They were hoping for more. But ditch a storyline. I mean, I know it's based on the book, but if you don't have a lot of time, get rid of the Hero storyline. Have Y be part of this thing.
Well, get rid of Nora. It feels like Nora and Hero are doubling up in a certain way. Like I don't think that we necessarily need both of them.
The problem is there's a movie called Green Lantern. In the movie Green Lantern, they announced that they were going to be doing a sequel before the movie even came out.
Oh boy.
So in that movie, they spend the entire time with Sinestro as a Green Lantern, which is in the books.
Yeah.
And then the post-credit scenes is Sinestro putting on a Yellow Lantern ring.
Okay. But now you didn't
do it. Don't think you have all the time in the world.
Tell your story now.
Tell your story in 10 episodes.
Right.
I was going to say that's the way I remember that there were series that did do that said like we're not sure whether we're going to get to go, so here is our season. It's a complete story.
Yeah, right. Even Lost was that way where they were waiting on like that third season deal. Where they said, okay, ABC said you're getting X amount of episodes over the next 3 seasons. You get 3 seasons, this many episodes. And then the writers went into the writers. Thing. If you watch season 3, there's definitely some sort of like, I don't want to say filler.
I say tap dancing.
It's tap dancing. Thanks. Where you get your Nikki and Paulos. It's like, I don't know how long we're going to go for. I don't know what we need to tell right now. So let's just kind of do this. Until we find out for sure when we can end this story out. With this, I feel like they thought this hit comic book, people been waiting for this show or movie or whatever for the last 10 years and assume it's going to be a hit. So they're drawing it out and it's like, probably shouldn't think that way. Let's say Dark Crystal. Seth, you watch the Dark Crystal show?
I didn't. I watched a couple of episodes and then I think I stopped.
The Dark Crystal show, you could tell they had an ending in mind for the series, the season. And if you watch it, you can definitely be like, oh, this leads into the movie because of blank. But there's still room to put more show in there.
Okay.
So they did it right. They did it where they were like, we're going to tell this story. Hopefully we'll be able to get to tell more, but this is the amount of time we have. We're going to tell these three. It's the same thing too. Like there's three main characters that have different timelines, and sometimes they converge and sometimes they don't. And they were able to figure it out and get it done. And it's so amazing. I highly recommend stick with it, watch it all. Okay. It's a really, really great story. And even though they didn't get picked up for a season two, where it ends, you're like, this can lead into where we are in the movie as far as where the Skeksis are, the Mystics, and like the Garthim and stuff. like it's kind of great. And I feel like if you have 10 episodes, even like with Lost, the first season, they didn't know they were getting a second season when they were still doing the show. But they had sort of the climax of this season will be we get the raft built.
Right.
What's the focus of this season so far? Is that they get to San Francisco?
They won't even get to San Francisco. No, there's no way.
I agree that there is that in their expectation that they're gonna. This comic book's 10, you know, collections long. It's like, I think 60 comics or something like that. And we're going to get to do that story. So we're going to do as the comic book does in some senses. And we're going to set up stuff for later. Like this is still, and I certainly agree that the flaw is that this is largely an introductory season.
Right.
They are introducing us to a lot of stuff that they expect to pay off later.
And that's tough. That's a gamble that I don't think paid off for them. I mean, I have sympathy for them.
No, it didn't, yeah.
I have a lot of sympathy for them because I can only imagine how frustrating it would be to say I have a 60-issue story to tell.
Yeah.
Where do I want to cut off my arc? You know, I don't want to tell the whole thing in case I get more seasons, but I don't want to just tell the first 10 comics because then we'll end with – like York in the middle of a sentence, you know?
Yeah. And with like all the stuff that, I mean, with all the stuff that they've added and changed from the comic, that becomes even tougher, I think, because Ralph, I know you haven't read the comic, but we don't get, if you will, hero's journey. there we go. And we also, thank you. And we also don't get the whole political stuff. Like in the comic, his mom's a congresswoman. She stays a congresswoman. Somebody else is president. That's it. All of the political machination stuff, none of that's in the comic.
But before starting the show, you have to realize, like, what are you going to choose? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
How much time are you going to spend on these things? And I feel like it either needs to be one show or the other. It needs to be Why the Last Man, or it needs to be
the world of Why the Last Man.
Yeah. Also with the president's story, I don't understand what the hope is or the goal is. It's like she wasn't president, she became president, and now she's threatening to lose her presidency. Like what am I don't really care what the end result is.
I do, but I'm mapping it onto current political situations.
I think that's the point. I don't think they would have chosen to add this whole political, I don't know, coup if it weren't for, and it obviously shows take a long time to make. So when I say current political situations, they're probably 3 years ago or whatever. But
yeah.
Well, I mean, okay. So let's talk about something real quick. The adaptation of the comic is not like the comic. But I feel like based on what I'm hearing, the choices they made are probably not the best choices to make for this adaptation.
I don't know about that. See, that's the thing, is that I like the other stories they're telling more than I like York. Like I see your point. I would rather stick with what's going on in the White House. I'm also, I think, more fond of Hero, but that storyline's had some, like, they've had some real issues. Just they like there was a bit where they got stuck for a bit like that. That house thing didn't need to be two nights. They could have done one night in the house and then the Amazon show up rather than we're a night in the house. We find Nora and her kid. We'll go back to the house and the Amazons will pick us up. Like it's, you know, again, I think they probably could have cut Nora. We don't need Nora.
I was thinking about a different comic adaptation that got 8 episodes that knew where it was going to end its one season. And that's Invincible. Invincible. Did you watch Invincible, the show, Seth?
I did, but they got picked up for a second season, I thought.
Yes, but they didn't know that they were going to.
Okay.
So they purposely did a first season that was arced out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And for those who read the comic books, know where that arc, if you're only going to get one season of Invincible, you know, as a comic book reader, where that arc should end.
Yeah.
And they did it. And they did it right. I don't want to spoil Invincible.
But no, you're making a good point because there's so much more after that we would hope to see as fans of the comic watching the show. But I also know to end that season there, that's the moment for people new to the show.
Yeah.
If you're an artist, you get a canvas. You're going to work within that canvas. You're not going to be like, oh, you know what? Maybe later I'll get another canvas and continue this. You gotta get it all on one canvas. You can't just hope that something else is coming. I felt like with Sweet Tooth was great, and I feel like they had to have known they were getting a season 2 before they were done.
They left too much on. Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely lead into season 2 ending. I was going to say, like, and this may not be fair, but I actually, because of the Invincible show, I had read most of the Invincible trades. I hadn't read all of them, and I finally went ahead and read all of them.
it's good.
It's so good.
It is, but I read it and I'm like, you know what? I don't know that I need to read this again.
That's
no,
fair.
It's the thing that's great about Invincible is that, the story isn't heavy or dense. It's not, Alan Moore. It's essentially, it's a page turner and it's a comic book made for people who want to see superheroes beat up other superheroes. But what's great about it is that the characters are likable. You care about them. They're fun. They're interesting. And it's enough to keep you wanting to read more.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Even the villains, the Mauser twins are you always, whenever someone pops up, whenever a character shows up, you're excited because you want to know what else they're going to do. Like, here comes Alan the alien again.
Yeah. I want to say that the line between villain and hero gets crossed and recrossed several times by different characters.
By different characters, but not Mark, at least.
No, he's pretty much always solid.
Standard.
He's like an anchor. Yeah. He's like the anchor for you to latch onto. So when all this stuff happens around, you know, ultimately that you can like latch onto this character and be.
Because Mark will always be on our side. Mark will always be a good guy. Yeah, actually, someone said Invincible in this episode. I think.
I know.
I think Regina Oliver was saying that President Lane isn't invincible.
Oh, and yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I heard that. I was like, oh, that's a reference to... wait, no, it isn't. They're just using a word.
It's the word, invincible.
The word invincible, the word Weird Al, and Home Alone name dropped all made me go like, man, I'd rather be listening
I'd rather
and watching
be
any of those.
Consuming either of those things.
I want to rewatch Invincible. Invincible was awesome.
I think Invincible, honestly, though, in terms of adaptations, because Invincible was a lot more faithful to the comic book than Y was, I think they had an easier time adapting it to a show.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's a cartoon.
But they did make a lot of changes. They did take out things and sort of switch things. They did
consolidate.
They did, but it wasn't like I could watch this and I could be like, oh, that's different, but okay, they're leading to the same.
Yeah.
They come to the same storyline.
Yeah, it's a much easier challenge.
Yeah.
I want to say something about Sam and the Amazons. And I'm not sure how... Samazons. I'm not sure how
exactly.
I'm going to navigate this. But Sam is a trans man.
Yep.
Yes.
And the Amazons hate him because he's a man.
Yeah.
But Sam didn't benefit from the patriarchy. Sam, if anything, is as marginalized as the women were, if not more. So I don't understand why he's tarred with the brush of being a man. It just makes, I think it almost makes the Amazons seem less rounded as their motivation.
But I mean, I was going to say they are. They're just like they are in the comics, which is this unreasonable, mostly unreasonable hatred of men.
No, I guess I didn't mean less rounded than the comic. I mean less rounded than they could be.
Well, it
makes
true.
It makes their motivation sort of two-dimensional. It's just, I hate men, so I'm going to hate even this trans man.
But they're like, I mean, honestly, I've never seen the Amazons as anything but a hate group.
Yes, they're basically like an indoctrinated hate group.
Yeah. Now, again, given what some of the indoctrination details, I'm not going to say they don't have reason for a lot of their animosity, but still.
Of course. They all have trauma. And Missy Pyle is very good at needling in to find that trauma. She could even find it in Mac.
Yeah.
Who I don't think anything necessarily major has happened to Mac, but she has had to deal with men being inappropriate to her already, because that happens to everyone at some point or another.
Yeah.
So I get that what she's doing works, but it just, to me, I don't understand. Men have hurt all of these women.
Yes.
Right? But Sam didn't. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, it doesn't make sense, because if Y showed up and they hated him, would I say, well, Y didn't hurt them?
Right. It's not so much that they necessarily hate Sam as Sam. It's just that they have the sort of ideal of the platonic concept of men.
Yes.
And that's what they hate. And right. Sam not only falls into that group, but he volunteer, as they see it,
as they see it.
As they see it, he voluntarily left the good group to join the bad group. Now, just since I've said that, that's not what happened. Sam was a man the whole time.
Right.
It might have just taken him a while to figure that out, and it certainly took him a while to get the hormones he needed.
So it's they're basically TERFs again.
Yeah.
Is what we're dealing with.
Yeah. I mean, they're very much TERFs.
Either they're TERFs, or on the other hand, maybe they're just so trans positive that they agree, yes, you're a man, and that's why we hate you, and we're going to get you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, given some of the language that they've used, I'm going to say probably not.
Okay.
Just because, again, it's like, well, you chose to do this, and you chose, and that's not, as that's, I understand it, speaking as a cis man from my place of privilege, as right. I understand it, that's not how it works.
That doesn't sound trans positive, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the showrunner saying that the show is about gender and about dismantling patriarchal systems. And I have not yet really seen, except
haven't done a whole lot of that yet.
I don't understand how it's about gender, because maybe I'm just missing it from my perspective. Maybe my bias is showing.
I think it's seen, I mean, it can't help but be about gender whenever Yorick's involved, I think.
I guess that's true.
But in terms of like dismantling patriarchal structures, I think that the show has done a reasonable job of saying these structures persist not only when there is no one clearly there is no use for them, period. I'm saying that real world and in show, but they persist when no one is driving them, just because they've become so entrenched.
We don't have an alternative.
Yeah,
don't know what else to do.
Nobody has really sat down. And here's the other thing. Nobody's really had time to do that. I think that's one of the reasons that I find Yorick to be insufferable, is because the entire world has gone into survival mode, except for Yorick, who's right. still in what I'm going to call, for lack of a better way to put it, nourishment mode. He wants to feed his psyche. He wants to feed his soul. He wants mm-hmm. to find his girlfriend.
Right.
Well, that's not what you can't do that yet, man. There's a lot of stuff that has to come before that.
Which is why we say he acts like he's on a different show.
Yeah.
Because he's being Chandler from Friends, and everyone else is trying to find food.
Yeah. But that's the thing. And that's how he is in the comic books too.
True.
He's just like,
right. He's very self-centered, and he's so self-centered, which so is Hero, by the way, that it takes him a very long arc to even somewhat come out of that.
Yeah.
And we haven't seen that yet.
355
sleepwalks.
This is new. This is a new thing.
I don't think so, because I think it ties into that weird dream sequence from last episode.
Oh, I think that's, no.
We see her,
it's just not as, in the book.
Yes, oh, that's I see. What I meant. That's okay, what I meant. Yeah, this is an addition. And it, I mean, I kind of like it in the sense that it complicates 355's character, as part of her appears to be somewhat suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And we haven't found out why yet. We can assume some things, right, that she probably did something that was pretty heinous, and she's sort of consciously not dealing with it, and the rest of her brain is sort of going haywire trying to process it. But yes,
all what you said is possible and valid, but the show didn't give it to you. You gave that to the show.
I know, but I'm willing to comp them that if they show it later, but they need to show it soon.
And that's another example of this is Dr. Mann tells 355 that why he needs to keep jacking off. And there's no explanation. It's just like, is he masturbating? He needs to be. And we just have to, I guess, infer maybe that will help keep his semen flowing so it doesn't get backed up and become not useful.
Or I guess, yeah. Now that was chromosomes, weird.
Right?
It has to do with chromosomes. She's, you know,
there's no explanation for it, so it just comes off as Dr. Mann as this character. They're making her so quirky, and it just doesn't contribute to the story.
I agree with that, especially because I want to say one of the strongest gender moments in the show happened last episode when we just sort of, there was that moment where we cut back to Dr. Mann, who it seems like has had a couple, and she's talking about, as you said on the last episode, there was a whole group of women who died because they had a Y chromosome and didn't know it.
Right.
Right. So we're getting this explanation of this thing that is new information to a lot of us. It's like, oh my God, I didn't know. And we get a little bit of an explanation of it, and we, you know, it's sort of there, so it's dropped in, but it's dropped into, we get an explanation, so it's not just dropped in, and we're like, oh, we have to deal with this, and it doesn't seem to have anything to do with what's going on. But the masturbating thing is, quite correctly, it's like, I don't understand why.
I think it's purely medical. I feel like she must know something medically. Which,
but
I kind of get from the, I get it from the context. It's not like,
right. It's not salacious.
Yeah. But
she's not saying I want to see a show. It's she clearly has a motivation for it.
She's like, has he been, like you would ask people, like when you go to the doctor, they ask you a series of questions. Maybe she's uncomfortable asking if he is. I mean, she might later, but she said, oh, here's this person that's been hanging out with him for the last however many days.
Yeah.
She would know.
I honestly think if we were going to cut some stuff, we could have cut some of the Yorick and 355 in the woods stuff that we got.
Yeah. I would have cut the president. I would have cut Regina Oliver. I think it's just unnecessary add on, in my opinion.
The scheming? You don't like the scheming?
No, I just don't know what it brings to the show.
Yeah, okay.
I think that we could, I don't know. It's just, I don't understand it.
I feel like Amber Tamblyn's enough.
Yes, that's a good point. Yeah, there's already someone there to oppose her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess, but now we have the three people, and then Amber Tamblyn wants to adopt Christine's baby.
Yeah. But, I mean, Regina Oliver is there so that Amber Tamblyn has a shred of standing to go, wait, but things are not the way they should be as defined by the Constitution, because Regina Oliver is still alive. Otherwise, it would just be, this is a straight-up coup.
Right.
And now, having said that, I don't know why she cares, because there's not enough of a functioning society left to care whether there is a coup in the White House.
Hey, it would only affect Virginia.
I mean, really.
It would seem. Oh, yeah. Seth was the one that commented very early on in the show where we were trying to figure out how far it would take to get from one place to another.
Yeah.
Cause you're in the Virginia.
I am in Maryland. I am like a mile outside of DC proper.
Wow.
And I have been up to New York many times.
And the traffic in that area is just heinous, right?
The traffic in this area is quite heinous. The way I used to put it to people who didn't understand LA traffic was, I was like, okay, look, LA's got a lot of traffic, it's true, but you have 12 freeways you can drive on. Out here, you've got 3.
Right.
Yeah.
It's all concentrated.
Yeah.
So you don't go tearing around on your motorcycle on empty freeways?
I don't go tearing around on my motorcycle on empty freeways, nor do I have my two menacing friends flank me a little bit behind, so we have this nice triangle. I did think that was a little bit cliche and kind of pointless.
Yeah, but you know what? I'm imagining the people doing that, like the real life people, not the stunt people, whoever. You gotta feel pretty cool.
Oh yeah. I'm a badass military person.
I got my leather on. I'm riding a motorcycle with my friends in a triangle formation.
Why stay in the military? Who didn't like
Robotech 3? Come on, we're gonna.
Why stay in the military? Yeah,
just live your life.
Yeah. Those people are contributing. They think they're contributing.
I actually imagine there was kind of a lot of that. I imagine that there, what we didn't see, but there was a lot of desertion, because it makes sense.
Like, why bother now?
Because it's like, okay, my entire, for a lot of them, it would have been my entire life has collapsed. Some of them would be driven, I think, more into the military because of that, because it's a source of order and because it's a source of anything. But I think a lot of them would also have just been, no, I've got to go find food for me and whoever's left.
Those who are in will want out, and those who are out will want in.
Something like that. Yeah.
Something. Yeah, potentially. I mean, at least, and that's the military. I can see people considering their jobs, military, hospitals, maybe even restaurants. But were I the person to survive this event, I'm not going to go to my job as being a paralegal.
No,
that's not going to help anybody. There's no legal to para.
nor would I go to my job as an internal communications specialist.
Right, because there's no internals to communication.
No, it's not. I would be out looking for food. I remember somebody.
I'd still run deliveries.
You would,
because people would need that shit.
Yeah.
There was somebody, and I forget who it was, but I think. I might have read it on one of my friend's Facebook posts or something like that. But there's a point at which, and I think everybody in the show has passed that point, where you have to stop gathering and you have to start growing. Because if you don't start taking care of your own food, by the time the rest of the food has run out, you're not going to have anything.
You have to start early.
You have to start. There is some time in the early days when, yes, go out and scavenge. You're going to need that food, that calories.
Why isn't Missy Pyle creating a farm, taking these, turning people away? You're going to run out of food. That Costco will be empty at some point.
Yeah.
That stuff won't last forever.
Yeah.
Why not start expanding out? Have your tents out there and then.
Yeah.
Right.
If I had to guess, and again, this is based on the comic, so as Ben, you pointed out, I'm doing the show a favor. They didn't give it to us.
Right.
It looks like Missy Pyle is trying to build her own private army.
Yes.
And I believe once she has that, she's just going to go out and take food from people.
Which is another way of doing it. You don't have to grow the food if you can take it.
If you can take it.
That's how we ended up in this whole mess.
Yep.
So I also want to say, there was that part where they were all bathing and Hero was modest. And my first reaction, my first thought of it was, you don't have to be cool being naked around other people. You know, even if we're all just girls here, you don't have to be naked. That's, people are allowed to be modest. But my second thought, when I thought about it more, is that's part of the indoctrination. We're stripping away your defenses.
Right.
We're needling in on your trauma. We're showing you how you can be comfortable with us. We're the great guys. So
it's them going, one of us.
But that's right. Keep a gobble.
Yeah. Not in those
ways. You even think they're cognizant of how bad they have?
I don't know, because I think Missy Pyle has provided them with a structure. She's provided them with meaning, and she's provided them with a found family. And all of that stuff, I have to imagine, in the kind of crisis that we're looking at in this world, would be stuff that people are grabbing at like you grab a winning lottery ticket today.
Like the door from Titanic.
Yeah. The door that could have fit two people.
Were there wooden doors on the Titanic?
Yeah, sure. Who knows? I don't know.
They were shipping doors. It wasn't one of the doors that was used on the Titanic. It was from the cargo hold.
No, they were shipping doors. All right.
I watched that show, Future Man. I know Ralph didn't. did you watch Future Man?
I did not watch Future Man.
At the tables.
Jobs?
Annie Munster. What's her job? Tables. So in Future Man, there was an episode where they go to James Cameron's house, and his house has an AI that runs it. And it refers to him at one point as certified door expert James Cameron.
Nice.
I don't think I'm caught up to that one. I need to watch Future Man. I need to finish that. I'm on the last season.
What's it on, Future Man?
Hulu? It was Hulu.
Hulu. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Ralph, I want to talk to you real quick about the Detroiters. Is that the Fat Boys?
They're supposed to be the Fat Boys.
I can't confirm on IMDb whether they have the Fat Boys or not.
Oh, man.
They just the show boys. Up.
There's an episode.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There's a name I have not heard in a very long time.
Yeah, exactly.
Tim's dad escapes from a loony bin, and there's some disorderlies who are
chasing him.
Search for him. I don't know. I never thought to look at. I just assumed they were just trying to be like the Fat Boys. I thought one of the Fat Boys was dead.
Oh, okay. Well, that would answer that, I guess. And what's funny is the name of the episode is Husky Boys, because one of the ads they're doing is for Husky clothing for kids.
We don't say fat.
That's right.
Oh my God, Seth, have you watched the Detroiters?
I have not.
Okay, I'm assuming, just based on what I know about you, if there's a streaming service you own, Paramount Plus would be one of them.
I do not.
Oh,
I do not. And I have regretted it because I kind of want to watch Lower Decks. I recently just started watching The Orville, so I think that's going to...
Where are you at on The Orville?
Episode one.
Okay.
I think you're in for a treat.
Yeah, Allison and I were looking for another show to watch. She was a little put off by the Seth MacFarlane-ish of it. I'm not, so... Yeah, Ralph, I'm stopped. Okay, I'll stop.
I tell this to everybody. The pilot episode, directed by Jon Favreau, you can tell is very much them trying to sell Fox on a new, funny Seth MacFarlane show.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Episode two has that a little bit in it, but when you get to episode three, it's straight up, I say, Star Trek Next Generation show with 5% jokes.
Okay.
It's only slightly funnier than Star Trek because Trek's got jokes.
Yeah. Star Trek's got jokes. It's true. I mean, they have whole funny episodes like The Trouble with Tribbles.
Right. And this one, like, the plots aren't comedic. That's the difference. Yeah. It's like a workplace comedy of Star Trek. So we're not Star doing Trek, something silly.
Yeah.
It's Star Trek where people talk like people talk now.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you'll crack a joke. You know?
Well, one of my favorite moments in the pilot was when I forget names because I've only seen one episode.
That's okay.
But Seth MacFarlane and Adrian Glicky are in the laboratory, and they just have this like back and forth routine about, oh, does that affect other fruit? Like, is this a time machine for like destroying bananas or whatever? And they just go back and forth for like five or six lines. But it's this sort of beautiful moment that shows that's why they were a couple. And when they were working as a couple, that's what it was like for them.
Right.
And I'm hoping that there's more of that because I really enjoy it.
But then there's also the thing where he says, oh, yeah, will the banana break my heart?
And that's where it stops. Yeah. Like, but that's good because it was in that for me. Again, I interpreted it as they're having this moment. They're back where they were as a couple. And then he remembers what happened and he's like, no, I have to
put up my shields.
Yeah. This is my suggestion. Watch episode two.
Okay.
if you have to watch it by yourself, when you get to episode 3,
yeah,
sit your wife down and say, hey, my friend Ralph says this episode is quite good and interesting and more indicative of what the rest of the series is like if you want to watch this one with me.
I think I can probably sell her on 2 more episodes. I'm just not sure how much she's into like a straight up Star Trek show, which is what you're saying. So we'll see. Like, we're looking for something else. Like, she's got 3 shows that she just sort of puts on when she goes to sleep over and over again. But before that, we watch a little something before we go to bed. Right now we're on 30 Rock.
Oh, that's a good one.
It is. Some of it has not aged well, but it's generally good. But yeah, we were looking for 30 Rock was not anything we planned. It was just like, well, what should we watch now? And I was like, 30 Rock. And then,
you know me, I'm not a Star Trek guy. I tried forever to get into starting up TOS, starting up TNG. I think I got the farthest on Voyager. Like, I'm trying to latch onto. I want to latch onto Star Trek, and I never was able to. Started watching The Orville, liked it. Started getting comfortable with that type of storytelling, in this sort of format, which is very much Star Trek, and it really eased me in as a gateway drug.
Where
I finished all of the original series, watched all the films.
Oh wow!
I accidentally skipped Insurrection. I still, that's the only one I haven't watched. I heard it's not great, but I should probably watch it. But the Orville, it was a nice sort of way to ease my way into Star Trek. So
I can see, like, just having watched a little bit of the Orville, if you got into that, how you'd want to be, wow, I really want something more like this. Oh, wait, there is a long-running show. I've got many seasons. My thing is, honestly, I am not as into Star Trek as a lot of people in my general demographic are, but I keep getting told that really I should watch DS9 start to finish, and my, you know, too. I because they're like, it's so good, it does this and this and this, and I'm like, but I already watched the space station show from the 90s. I liked the Babylon 5 that I watched the whole lot.
When those shows were out, I would watch those shows.
Don't
remember any of it, but
Babylon 5, I like Babylon 5. I certainly respect the fact that Straczynski wrote like 90% of the episodes or something like that on a 5-year show. I think that's impressive.
Both of the series, man.
But much like Justice League, you have to wade through, like, the first season of Babylon 5 is rough.
I heard the first 3 seasons of TNG are rough. I watched like maybe 4 episodes of that and then just jumped over to Voyager again.
You can find guides online that tell you like which episodes to skip.
Yeah, and I dipped in and out. Like, I've dipped in and out on Star Trek. I've never watched a complete series start to finish, but I've always, like, I've seen a few episodes of TNG, a few episodes of DS9, a few episodes of Voyager, and I think after that was the point at which we got the cable explosion, and I like, it just wasn't on the channels that I was watching as much.
Yeah.
Or I was in grad school and reading or something like that. Who knows?
I've watched the Orville both seasons through twice.
Wow.
Started up again. I really enjoy it. But yeah,
well, it's supposed to get a third season, isn't it? Like, Hulu's
I finished in August. It's coming in March, I believe.
Okay, oh, nice.
Maybe. Yeah, that might be cool.
I mean, I'm thinking after Y. I haven't brought this up. I'm thinking after Y, since we're getting it's going to be close to mid-October.
The halls.
November. Yeah. Maybe take a break.
Right.
See when Sweet Tooth comes back. I would jump into the Orville. Oh, we should. Let's not tell Ryan, because I don't know if he'll listen to this or not. But let's do an episode covering that Beatles thing.
Okay. Yeah, like a special.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, if I may offer some advice as somebody who, slight plug, has a podcast on which I watch shows that I do not like and have done, I think we're like in episode 300 something of the Arrowverse.
Oh boy.
Oh, like we've taken we were like, let's Patrick, my co-host, is like, let's do some Justice League. I'm like, sure. All right, we've got to the end of season one. He's like, well, can't we do season two? And I'm like, yeah, okay, let's do season two. We're so sick of the Arrowverse that going back to it is such a chore.
You're on a long, very long break.
We were hardcore into the Arrowverse until we couldn't take it anymore. We didn't start Black Lightning, and we just decided to let it go right before the first crisis, the crisis crossover. It's just too many shows.
Black Lightning, I think, at least so far, is actually the best one, because we're like 3 years behind, right? But of the shows, of the Arrowverse shows that we're watching, Black Lightning is the one that we like the most. That is, in our opinions right now, that's the good one.
We did pick up Stargirl, and we like Stargirl a lot.
But I heard that Stargirl was like,
I think it's outside of
Arrowverse. It's different, or it got included in the Arrowverse when they did Crisis on Infinite Earths, and we're like, and here's a scene of the Doom Patrol, and here's a scene of the Titans, and here's a scene of, you know, whatever.
Green Lantern the movie.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, to cross from one big comic house to the other one of my favorite scenes in Deadpool 2 is him going back in time and killing
Ryan Reynolds single-handedly keeping any sort of reboot from happening
by being so negative
and keeping it fresh in everyone's mind.
I guess you're right. I can see what that'd be counterproductive for you.
I think Ralph, at some point they're going to, like, if DC keeps doing what it's doing, they're going to have to reboot a Green Lantern movie. But I'm also afraid that if DC keeps doing what they're doing, you're not going to like it.
There's been three Spider-Men.
Yes, there have been many Spider-Men.
And Batman. You keep getting Batman movies.
Several Batman. Mm-hmm. Did you watch any of the DC animated movie universe?
Yeah.
I've never watched. I watched All-Star Superman, but that's obviously a separate story. That's like a different.
Yeah, but there's like, what, 13 or 15 movies that are considered were the DC animated universe, and there's one where the Justice League forms, and the last one is them like going to Apocalypse and doing stuff. I watched those. Those are pretty great. Like, mm-hmm. The DC animated team is pretty good. I don't know why they don't put those people on the live action stuff.
Well, next summer we are getting a Green Lantern DC animated film.
Okay.
We don't know anything about it. It's just called Beware My Power, assuming it's a Jon Stewart-centric movie. But
hey, did you ever read Mosaic?
Here's the thing with Mosaic. I want to read Mosaic. I don't have any way to read Mosaic now.
No. Oh. And unfortunately, Ralph, you did for a brief period in, I believe, 1997, when I had 17 long boxes of comics.
I know.
Because it was in those.
Yeah.
Yeah, and probably tracking down the individual, because I don't think they were ever collected in a trade.
No, and they won't.
Be. Yeah, no. Tracking down the individual issues now for you would be like prohibitively expensive.
The thing is, they were on Comixology.
Maybe, oh, really?
I have them. I should check. I might have them. Because I had downloaded the first 50 issues of Green Lantern Volume 3. And you can't get those anymore, but I'm still able to read them. For some reason, I didn't buy issue 13, and now I can't.
Oh, that's a special kind of hole to be stuck in.
Let me. I don't know that it's. I'm pretty sure they were trying to kill off the service, but DC Unlimited might just be comics now. So if it's still around, you might look into that. That might have Mosaic, but I'm not sure.
I doubt it. I highly doubt it. They struck it from Comixology. They aren't going to keep it on their app.
Yeah. Hey, DC, if you're listening, my pal Ralph wants to read Mosaic. Come on.
Here's the deal. This is my thoughts. For those of you at home who don't know what we're talking about, there was a writer on Green Lantern, a very prolific writer, wrote a ton of Green Lantern. They found some stuff on his computer, pictures, that made him go away. And so they just struck all his books off of the app.
And he did Mosaic, huh?
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, Gerard Jones.
Ooh.
And if you're curious about the pictures, you know, let's just say Jeffrey Jones sort of territory here.
God.
So yeah. Got it. All the books been struck from the record. They're gone. And it's kind of weird to read them now just because you know.
Because
I
you
wish
know.
There was a way they can go in, which they can do, strike his name from all the books. Because there's a lot of artists who worked on those that weren't him.
Yeah.
Right.
Strike his name from the books, put in some sort of literature in it, in the digital versions.
Right.
That will help people who are victims of this sort of thing.
Yeah.
And create like, some sort of
fund.
Yeah. Like however you track what you read on something like Comixology, and you go, okay, well, you're paying this fee, you're reading this, so we're going to take some of that fee that you're paying, and we're going to put it towards a fund.
Basically, whatever royalties you would have paid, maybe, if that's even a thing for these authors.
I don't know.
I downloaded Mosaic before they got struck from the record.
Hey, look at you.
Yeah, there we go.
So you're in there.
Hey, DC, never mind. Ralph's got a cover.
Well, I mean, I really wish they would do that, and I'm sure when they just struck all his books, because we're talking like 50 issues of Green Lantern, Mosaic, a lot of Justice League books that he wrote. There's just a ton. There's a YouTube page called Mosaic Comics. It's a guy who's a big Green Lantern fan and does sort of these like little oral histories on different books, different characters, different things, mostly centered around Green Lantern. And he did one recently about this situation. And I highly recommend you check it out. The YouTube channel is Mosaic Comics. But it's one of those things where it's like, I you could take him down. I get it. That's fine. People are going to question it, I guess. But I feel like just strike the name from the record and then put in literature. Turn it into something where you can use your characters in a positive light, so to speak.
Yeah.
I'll read Mosaic, but it's weird. It's weird reading this stuff after the fact.
Oh, yeah. You know? No, I completely understand. There are people that I've taken off my shelves because they've just been like, oh, found out a thing. Can't deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
It helps if they're dead before you find out. Like, I still have Lovecraft on my shelves.
There's this podcast called the Dead Authors Podcast.
Oh, God, yes.
Paul F. Tompkins, was he the host?
Yeah, he was the host.
He played H.G. Wells. Yes. So the concept was Paul F. Tompkins was H.G. Wells, and he'd use his time machine to go get these different...
He didn't invent, he found in a church jumble sale.
And he'd go and get these dead authors to talk about their lives and their works and stuff. And so it would be whatever actor is playing the author. And there's just a lot of really good ones. But the one where Ben Schwartz is playing Roald Dahl.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. Oh, and you hear his heart break.
Because in part of the interview, Herbert Gerbert Wells says, and so a lot of people have accused you of anti-Semitism or being anti-Semitic. And yes, you can hear Ben Schwartz just be like, I did not know that about me.
That would have been a good thing to know when I was 8 years old and reading The Big Friendly Giant over and over again. It's like, oh, boy.
He's just like, oh, my gosh, he's one of my favorite authors, and I didn't know that. It's a very old question, and I don't think anyone, to my mind, has ever answered it satisfactorily, is separating the art from the artist and how much you're allowed to enjoy something once you find out the person that did it's a monster.
I feel like
Michael Jackson, it's like the whole Michael Jackson thing. Like, it's kind of weird to idolize him, but you still like his songs. With this Green Lantern, it's like it's not a character he owned. It's not a character that he created.
Yeah.
It's DC's character. It's everybody's character to enjoy. And they just are stories that happen to be the voices in it come from a monster person.
Yeah.
And so, it's not like if I go now and read that Green Lantern comic book, or if I go read a Roald Dahl book, I'm not hurting kids by doing that. I'm not being anti-Semitic by doing that.
I'm not giving those people money.
There's no impact on anyone else. Yes, that's the thing. You do have to try to think about not paying the money, but
Can I just dip in and add a footnote to the Dead Authors podcast thing?
Sure.
Once a year, I listen to the Andy Daly, L. Ron Hubbard episodes.
Oh, yeah?
They are so good. It's the only two-parter. If you only listen to two episodes of Dead Authors podcast.
Those are the two.
Oh, jeez. Yes.
Let me ask you a question. Is there an episode, an Ian Fleming episode, and is it Matt Gourley?
Yes, I believe so.
I believe so.
Or did Matt Gourley do...
He would have done Ian Fleming.
He did a couple... Ian Fleming.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was Ian Fleming on Comedy Bang Bang a couple of times, I think.
He does Ian Fleming on, like, the James Bonding podcast and...
James Bond. Yeah.
Figs and scrambled eggs. And Chesterfield cigarettes.
He also did the Cosmos guy. Sagan.
Carl Sagan, yeah.
I think he also did Sagan.
He also went
through
school.
But that was the reverse one, didn't he?
Yes. I'm looking at Wikipedia right now. He did Carl Sagan first.
Yeah, he is a Lucerna High School alum.
That's right. Yeah, he was a senior when I was a freshman.
Yeah.
Wow.
Comedy sports.
I played comedy sports with him.
Holy crap. it's weird. My... Patrick, my co-host, was apparently in an improv group with Keegan-Michael Key for about 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Like, cool. Keegan-Michael Key was leaving, Patrick was coming in, but that was...
That a little overlap. The seniors, there's two seniors from Lucerna High that were, I mean, they were seniors when I was a freshman, that have been, I'd say semi-famous, somewhat famous.
Yeah.
There's Jeff Davis, he's on Whose Line. And then there's Matt Gourley.
A friend of mine was recently like...
Oh, yeah, Kimmy Gibbler. Yeah, duh. Yeah. She's way more famous.
He was like, you need to go listen to Harmontown. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, Dan Harmon had this podcast with, Jeff Davis, and you may know him from Whose Line. And I'm like, no, I don't know Jeff Davis from Whose Line. I know Jeff Davis from LA Comedy Sports back in the 90s.
Yes, exactly. Okay, well, I think we haven't discussed why in more than half an hour now.
That is true.
I'll put that in the show notes because I think the people who listen to us that don't watch Why would like to hear some non-Why stuff.
Some non-Why content.
I'll let them know to stick with it. We should probably get going. We've been going for an hour and 17 minutes, which is pretty long. But one last question. Seth, what are all your thoughts on No Time to Die? no, don't answer that.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. No, I'm way behind on stuff.
Okay. All right. You should see it.
All right. I will see it, and then I'll send you a Facebook message.
Do you want to do a plug, Seth, for real? I mean, you're our only guest star we've ever had.
I feel so honored. I'll quickly do plugs. And so the podcast that I was referring to that Patrick and I are on is called Arrow Chapter and Verse. The first, I think, 50 episodes. No, 50 episodes are me doing it by myself. And then I decided I needed a friend because I couldn't do it alone anymore.
You didn't want to walk through that dark hallway by yourself.
Exactly. I'm on another one called Here's What Actually Happened, A Made-Up Retelling of History. And that's myself other folks on that. Where basically one of us will say, hey, other two people, what is this? What do you know about this thing from history? And then two of us will make it up.
That's bullshit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then there's at the very end, the person who asked the question is like, here's the real facts.
Here's what really happened. Okay.
Here's what really happened. And the last one I want to plug is How I Spent My Allowance. It's Patrick and myself and three of the folks. If you start at the beginning, it's the two of us, James Finley, Naomi Collard, and Riley Bartlebaugh. Riley had to leave and Ricky Whitworth came on, but it's us discussing old D&D novels from the 80s and 90s.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's pretty, but that's, I can see that being a good niche because it's a shared experience for many people to have read those. like hungry for D&D content and just grabbing the paperback from the store. And
exactly. That's why it's called How I Spent My Allowance from 9 to 18. I was like,
And is this also, is there an element of that that's you talking about media that you didn't like?
Probably, because we definitely go through the books. The first 8 episodes are us reading Ed Greenwood's Spellfire and me being like, as a 13-year-old, I really like this book. Now I do not. but we've also covered most of the Dragonlance trilogy, or most of the Dragonlance Chronicles at this point. We're just wrapping up Spring Dawning in the next couple of months. And then we're going to do more stuff. So anyway, those are the 3 podcasts I'm going to plug, and thank you for letting me.
Sounds
do
like
that.
Fun. Sounds like you got a full schedule.
I do.
And that bullshitstery one sounds good.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. It's a lot of fun.
Do you find it easier to bullshit about a historical event if you know about it or if you don't know about it?
Okay, so I have read a lot of medieval and Renaissance European history.
Sure. Of course.
Yes. So
at
baseball games frequently. but what will trip me up is that Sarah McMullen and Marcella Cruz are the other hosts on that. Both of them frequently choose like US stuff from the 20th or 19th century, and I'm like, I have no idea about this. but then I'm like, but what do I know about that era and that time that flappers. I could just bring in?
Exactly. Flappers.
Flappers. I will mention flappers from any period from the 1880s through the 1940s. It's, you know,
it's actually a flappers podcast.
Yeah,
it's down to it.
There's a lot of stuff about flappers. But I don't know. I think it might actually be easier if I don't know what's going on.
I imagine so too, because otherwise you'd have to like dance around it. Like,
yeah,
you'd have to make up specific lies.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for letting me come on the show. I had a great time.
I don't know what to do with someone else here.
Yeah, I know. But it's been a good chat. I enjoyed it way more than I enjoyed watching Why.
Oh man,
that's fair enough.
Although none of you got naked. So
hang on.
Think about that for next time.
Here I go. Shirt's coming off.
Yeah, we'll see how we have 4 more episodes.
That's right. And the next episode.
That's like 2 whole movies worth of episodes.
True. Next up is episode 7. My Mother Saw a Monkey. So I think that could be Kimberly. That could be a line for Kimberly to say because her mother, the first lady, saw Ampersand.
And
or it could be someone else.
The monkey winked at her.
The baby looked at you?
Yeah.
Maoma.
What's that? That's from Escape?
Escape.
Escape of the Planet of the Apes, the very end when the baby starts talking. The baby monkey.
It's like the baby ape opened its mouth once and they reversed the footage back and forth. Tusken Raider.
Tusken Raider with his
gaffy stick.
Gaffy stick. Ah, they suck. All right. Well, that's it for me, I guess. I'm gonna stop. Let's say goodbye and I'll stop recording.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everyone.
Recording stopped.
Got it.
All right. Yeah. Cool. We'll see you guys next week.
That's
why?
Right. That's right. MIC.
See you later, trash cans.
K-E-Y.
Why?
Why?
The last man.
Because the last man. That's right. Oh, yeah. All right, bye, guys.
Hey, next week's Halloween on Saturday, or on Sunday. We're good to record, though?
Yes, please.
Okay, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Bye, guys. Thanks again.
All right, bye.